Hello, I'm Victoria Sanchez with Cisco Systems, and welcome to a special podcast on Cisco Borderless Networks for Manufacturing. My guest today is Wes Olson, Director of Manufacturing Vertical Sales, and who will help us understand what Cisco means by borderless networks and how a borderless network is relevant to manufacturers. Welcome, Wes.
Good morning, Victoria. Thanks for having me.
Let's start right in. We've heard Cisco talking a lot about borderless networks. What is it and why is it important?
Well, so Cisco Borderless Networks is really about both business and technical architectures, and I'll explain what that means. So when we talk to our customers, we get a lot of common themes that emerge out of that. And so, for example, they say, you know, our business would be more efficient if we could do this by employing the network around a lot of different things. So you get a lot of different challenges that emerge from that kind of a conversation with executives. And interestingly enough, the technology and the business guys don't necessarily always tend to speak the same language. And so what we say here is that that is what we choose to identify as a border. So it could be a technology, for example, as PCs and laptops. And we're not just concerned with PCs and laptops anymore, but each of those would be a device border. But you could have smartphones, IP phones, security cameras, all sorts of devices that might be on a manufacturing shop floor or in the overall environment. But each of them needs to work particularly well together, and then you've got a wide variety of people that are going to be using that network and all those different types of devices. So they need real-time access to their data and to other resources within their overall manufacturing operations. So the issue is, how do you get all these devices into a common IP network and still maintain your security, the availability, and overall quality of service? And so, how do you get the network and all of that traffic from a device monitoring the automation control system? It's more important than data from, say, supply chain. And how does the network know that?
Wow. I sure hope you have an answer to that question.
We do. In fact, these are exactly the types of challenges that the Cisco Borderless Networks is actually designed to address. So what I was describing, we call a device border, for example. And it's not enough just to connect these devices to the network and hope that they work. You need a complete and flexible identification and authorization system that has a Cisco identity-based network services, for example. And you need to provide high-quality availability for them because some of that information could be production critical. And you have to identify the data flows, prioritize them, and, you know, identify which one's got to come first after, order of priority, basically, and then protect that from other data flows that could or potentially interfere. So you really need an intelligent and full-featured infrastructure to pull all this stuff off. And, by the way, you know, you have to do it both for wired and wireless networks, so another border that needs to be brought together.
And Cisco Borderless Networks has the infrastructure to do this?
It does, and although the problem extends well beyond just devices, it obviously corners a lot of things to do with people interaction as well. But any modern organization, perhaps especially in manufacturing facilities, they have a lot of different people doing different things, and they're all located in a variety of areas. Some could be inside and outside of the walls of the actual plant. For example, partners, retailers, you know, the engineering staffs, and of course your customers, you name it. The way they interact with these is all about how do you integrate all those people and still maintain that same level of security and confidentiality.
That sounds like a significant challenge. I mean, border.
Well, it has relevance for manufacturing, and it makes sense to quickly share that real-time information to one audience, such as engineers, while still trying to control that information with access to your partners, for example. So you can share and modify information, but still have access. And you want to accelerate the innovation cycle by helping those engineers so that they can develop the right products, but you also want to adapt that supply chain to your changing markets. So how you improve efficiency and flexibility while managing operational risk and creating customer differentiated experience is really important.
Okay, that makes sense.
There's a fine line you need to walk in this. Of course, you've got to enforce the security, but at the same time, you shouldn't be punished for where you might happen to be located at any given time. So your experience of the network and all the applications within the limits of what you're allowed to do according to a given security policy, they should be the same wherever you happen to be. Same performance, same security, same seamless overall experience. And if the network can't deliver that, we call that a location border. And, of course, that's one of the areas that Cisco Borderless Network also addresses. So you need high-level performance, high-scale virtual private networks, application optimization, and even virtualization technologies, all that can go across this entire Cisco borderless networks. And that allows you to handle outside people coming into your network, and at the same time, you need a flexible mobility infrastructure for people inside the network. And so it has obvious relevance to manufacturing. An R&D engineer is going to be a lot more efficient, and your time to market for developing those products is going to be a lot faster if that engineer has access to all the information he needs whenever and wherever he happens to be and has the need to access it. So similarly, if your operations, they're going to be a lot more efficient if the network is able to get them the data that they need to resolve break fix problems on the factory floor or maybe part shortages through your supply chain.
And location shouldn't matter.
Exactly. Except for one thing. When you're trying to locate and track down mobile assets, such as raw materials, for example, for an assembly line, or if you're trying to check inventory for sales, then location does matter because you have to know exactly where it is and its availability to a customer and or a partner. So maybe it's better to say that the network should be location aware, knowing where people and things are when it matters, but also optimizing the experience so that whether you're remote or mobile, when you need access to that information, you get the same level of productivity.
Okay, we've covered devices and locations. Are there other borders in manufacturing we need to be aware of?
Well, I would say another one is actually application borders. So there's a lot of specialized manufacturing applications, and I'll give you a couple of examples. One would be high-resolution computer-aided designs, or you might have precise manufacturing placement for assembly operations. We're also seeing more applications deployed in the cloud, so software as a service. And lastly, I'd say we're seeing more and more manufacturing organizations that are adding a portfolio of Web 2.0 collaboration and video applications to their workflows as well.
And then there's a huge return of investment there. Manufacturers that started using video for remote conferencing instead of transporting engineers, partners, and all the stakeholders to meet in person and reporting significant cost savings. Most likely, the equipment can pay for itself within a year.
Exactly. In fact, that's the type of benefits we're really talking about. But just like devices, you can't throw video on your network and just hope for the best. You've got to increase your bandwidth. It's got to be location specific. You might want to have an implementation for a 10 gig Ethernet core and then a 10 gig Ethernet uplinks in the wiring closet. You need to be able to identify video automatically, and you've got to be able to control that path that it's going to take over the network so you can optimize it and monitor how it's performing. And that's why Cisco MediaNet is an absolutely integral part of the Cisco borderless network architecture. It provides the framework for deploying rich media applications on the overall Cisco network.
Okay, devices, location, and application border. Got it. Is that all?
Well, there's actually one more, and it's a little bit unusual. We like to think that the network, because it increasingly touches everything in a manufacturing organization, that it can provide additional value to other parts of the operations. And one obvious area where that can happen is energy management. Now, energy is usually a concern of the facilities and the guys actually in the physical plant. But the information technology department has a budget for energy, but they don't get too involved in the management of that. So for them, it's just a cost of doing business. But we think that Cisco borderless networks can actually break down that organizational border and create better cooperation between both IT and facilities so that they can be aware of and manage those energy costs. So here's a key point. Experts estimate that manufacturing organizations spend actually about 50% of the total energy usage in the United States. And much of that is actually around electric motors. Whether they're running, starting up, or slowing down doesn't matter. It's the fact that they're just in operation doing what they do. And there are efficiencies that can be discovered when how you manage that between the manufacturing facility and then be able to reduce that cost substantially to any manufacturer. So we have a technology. It's called Cisco EnergyWise. And it lets customers intelligently measure, report, and reduce the energy consumption across their entire operation. So they can now optimize that power delivery and reduce their energy cost. And we're releasing this in phases. The most recent phase expands the customer's sphere of control. So it includes power over Ethernet devices, so like IP phones, wireless access points, and IP surveillance cameras. And obviously it's also PCs and laptops, but you get the idea. And the next phase of the Cisco EnergyWise is also going to further expand that visibility so that you'll have extension out to facilities integration. You'll be able to control lights, elevators, heating, ventilating, air conditioning. And we're doing all that through a tighter integration with the Cisco Network Building Mediator. So you can also look for us to develop open interfaces that control those system suppliers so that they allow their MES systems to acquire energy data from the manufacturing facility. And, of course, that allows for better real-time access and scheduling, so you can reduce your energy costs even more substantially. So providing a more sustainable and cost-effective facility is an excellent way for IT to demonstrate business value to the rest of the operation. And Cisco EnergyWise and sustainability in general is a key component of Cisco borderless network architecture.
Okay, so let me end with a tough question. Why Cisco? Couldn't you construct a borderless network with another network vendor's equipment?
Well, I think there's a lot of answers to that. So let's start at the technology level. Do other vendors have identification and authorization technologies, for example? Yes, they do, but not as fully featured and certainly not as flexible as Cisco identity-based network services. I also think you'll find the same story with a lot of the technologies I've mentioned, so policy control, quality of service, and so on. And then there are peer differentiators like Cisco EnergyWise. Nobody else in the industry has anything that even remotely compares to it. And moving up from that, I think you have to return to something I said at the beginning of the podcast, and that is that Cisco Borderless Networks is a business as well as a technical architecture. So our goal ultimately is to solve business problems for manufacturers. And in order to do that, I think you need the broad portfolio of product solutions and even the services that Cisco provides that accomplish that. And if we don't know the best way to get Cisco telepresence across the LAN and WAN, then who would? So we have the design guides, the deployment, and the engineering talent that actually can support that. And lastly, I would say that Cisco Borderless Networks provides the infrastructure for many of the industry-specific solutions that we have. So one example would be Ethernet to the factory floor. So if you can run your intellectual property to the factory floor, and you can share that data with back-office applications, it greatly improves your productivity and, of course, gives you real-time visibility into what's happening in your production and supply chain. We also have things like warehouse voice picking, and it helps automate many portions of your order fulfillment process, and it's a huge improvement in accuracy and agility. There are a lot more, but all of these are deployed on the Cisco Borderless Network architecture, and we know the needs of that technology, but we also know the needs of the business. And so from my perspective, when we look at that overall picture of how do you integrate those two, Cisco is certainly in the best position to fulfill both of those needs.
Thank you, Wes. If people want more information about this, where should they go?
So the Borderless Network site is at www.cisco.com/go/borderless. And you can also see a recent webcast that we did surrounding the Borderless Network's issues, and that one is at www.cisco.com/go/experience. And if you're interested in our solutions for the manufacturing industry, you can go to our own website at www.cisco.com/go/manufacturing.
Fantastic. Thanks again, Wes, and thanks, listeners, for tuning in.